Matthew chapter 14. I'm just going to simply call this one, Get Out of the Boat. Look at your neighbor and tell him, get out of the boat. Matthew chapter 14. Let's start looking in verse number 22. The Word of God says that immediately Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side. Notice what we just read. Jesus made them get into the boat. Now, usually if Jesus is making you do something, there is a purpose. Amen. There is something that's about to happen. So He made them get into the boat to go before Him to the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. Now when evening came, He was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water." So Jesus said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. What we see in this passage is an example of someone stepping out of the natural and stepping into the supernatural. We see an example of a man named Peter who is walking in the miraculous. Now, it's important to understand that if you consider every miracle Jesus has performed to this point, similar miracles can be found in the Old Testament. When He is healing the sick, when He is providing meals to the hungry, when He is controlling the weather, when He is raising the dead, those miracles can be found recorded in the Old Testament. Until you come to Matthew 14. That night, amid these raging seas, the disciples see something brand new. Something that no one had seen to that point. Jesus is walking on the water. Not like Moses, for whom God parted the water. Not like Joshua, for whom God parted the water. Now, God let an iron axe head float for Elisha, but Elisha didn't step out on the water to get it. This is something completely new. And as this is taking place, there is only one of the 12 who calls out to Jesus and says, "Hey, let me join you in this. Let me step out of the natural and walk with you in the supernatural. Let me walk in the miraculous alongside of you." You know, that is very common in the American church, in the modern church today. There are very few who will say, "Jesus, I see You moving in this way. Let me walk with You in the miraculous. Let me walk with You in the supernatural." We ask often, why don't we see miracles happening in the church? Why don't we see the power of God the way our grandparents saw the power of God moving? And the answer is because 11 out of 12 people are still sitting in the boat. Amen. Come on, Pastor. There are many who are in the church who are tired of holding on to hope. They're ready to move past desperation. They're ready to walk in the miraculous and take their miracle by the hand, but they just don't know how, so they sit. There are people who will attend churches today who are desperate to see the invisible and hear the inaudible, to think the unthinkable, to believe the incredible, and to even walk in the impossible. But if we're ever going to do that, we've got to get out of the boat. My friends, if I may put it to you this way, you can't walk on water unless you step out in faith. You can't walk in water if you don't step out in faith. And it's not going to be an easy step to take. But that's why you've got to understand that God is with you. We all have different kind of boats that keep us floating in the natural. We even have a phrase, whatever floats your boat. The problem is we're looking for things to float our boat, and it's keeping us from walking in the miraculous. We believe that our boats, what boats might we have? Well, for some people, it's their money. For some people, it's their reputation. For some people, it's their spouse. For some people, it's their job. We have all of these boats that we believe to protect us when the storms of life rage against us. We believe these boats are the manner by which our needs will be met. We believe that the boats we have built will get us from one place to the other. But such boats often prevent us from walking in the supernatural, from walking in the miraculous. If we are ever to walk in the fullness of God, not merely feel His presence, or not merely just see Him walking toward us, but to walk with Jesus in the fullness of His power and His promise, it's going to require that we take some steps of faith. So what's it going to take? Well, let's begin this way. Let's take our eyes off of Peter. Let's take our eyes off of the one disciple who took a step. So often when we read this story, we read about Peter stepping out of the boat, taking his eyes off Jesus, begins to sink, cries out. Jesus takes him by the hand. Don't even pay attention to Peter for a little while. Instead, let's consider the other 11 who are seated in the boat. Now, I don't know what was going through the minds of these disciples. It is evident that the first thing was a great fear that had come upon them. They were first concerned for and then convinced of their imminent destruction. And I want you to think about that storm for a moment. That thing in your life you were concerned about, but now you're convinced you're never going to beat it. You're never going to overcome it. It's never going to change. It's never going to come through. That's the storm I want you to think about today. Now, realize that their fear subsided when they recognized it was Jesus walking to them. He had calmed a storm before and saved them. Certainly, He's not going to let them perish now. And many times we get comfortable when we know that the presence of God is among us. Even though we're in a storm, we feel that peace that passes understanding. Even so, their hope, their joy, their elation at knowing Jesus was there could not fully overcome the fear that was within them. How can I say that? Because 11 had the chance to walk in the miraculous and didn't do it. Jesus didn't say only Peter could come. He said to the one that asked, yeah, come on out with me. They never stepped up. And it's not because they couldn't, it's because they wouldn't. Something kept 11 people in the boat, even in the midst of a miracle. Something overrode their faith in God and caused them to stay in the boat. Something kept them from stepping into the miracle God had prepared for them. Remember, Jesus told all of them, go get in the boat. When you read other gospels, you'll find that when Jesus is on that mountaintop praying, He's watching them. He's waiting for the right moment to go to them. He has set them up for a miracle. But all they see is a storm. What was it that kept them in the boat? I think for some of them it may have been concern. Even as Peter passed from the natural and into the supernatural, I imagine some of the disciples remained seated, clinging to the boat with all of their might, confident that this is the one thing that's going to keep them above water. Perhaps some of them even moved to the edge of the boat to watch the event. Maybe they even imagined themselves stepping out of the boat. They could see, I bet I could do that. I wonder what that would be like. But they're unable to take that step into the miraculous because they're afraid of what could go wrong. Come on, who am I preaching to this morning? You may be seated in the same boat as the 11, and you know Jesus can calm your storms, and you know your situation will change the moment he shows up, but you find yourself consumed by your own caution and your own concern. And you see Jesus, and you desperately want to muster the faith to step out into your miracle, to take that chance, to do that thing you know God is saying, I'm with you, you can do it, I'm behind you. You want to believe Jesus for the impossible, but as you look at the storm around you, the problems and the calamities and the possibilities, you become so worried that you're going to sink in those things. You become worried that they're going to destroy you. Maybe you're just sitting waiting for the storm to calm down a little bit. Maybe when it calms down a little bit, I'll take that step. When the waves aren't so boisterous and so dangerous. Once Jesus calms the storm, then I'll step out. Well, that didn't happen, did it? You see, that would be waiting for God to move. And you know what a step of faith requires? It requires you to move. Think about Moses. We mentioned him earlier. When you read Exodus 14, 600 chariots are closing in behind the people of God. And the Hebrews look back and see the Egyptian army coming upon them, and they say, let's go back to Egypt. What does Moses say? No. He says, stand still. Stand still. Don't go back to Egypt. That's where most Christians are today. I'm not going to go back to that place of bondage. I'm not going to go back to that life I used to have. I don't know what God's going to do. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So when we get into a problem, we stand still. And we say, God, you got to do something. My enemy is closing in. You got to do something, God. There's nowhere I can go. And you know what God says when he shows up? He says, what are you doing standing here? I told you to go into the promise. Take a step. I'll make a way where there seems to be no way. The people said, let's go back. The man of God said, no, stand still. God said, no, take a step forward. Take a step forward. It requires we take a step into the miraculous. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to get out of the boat. Some of you didn't sound very convinced of that. Some of you are like, it's time to get out of the boat. Oof. I like the way Paul puts it. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Press forward. Don't stand still and wait for God to do something. What is the impossible prayer you need answered? What is the impossible thing you want to accomplish? What is the unimaginable person you desire to be? What are you afraid of? Take the step. Believe God. Concern kept some of them in the boat, I believe. But I don't believe concern is the only thing that kept people in the boat. I believe there was something else. I believe it was comfort. You know, in that boat, were some seasoned fishermen. They grew up on this water. Their daddies grew up on that water. Their granddaddies grew up on that water. They've been in some storms. They might be worried, but they also know exactly what to do. Sometimes when you get in a storm like that, you just got to ride the storm out. That's our way of thinking. I mean, first we were talking about what floats your boat. Now we're talking about riding the storm out. And if there's any seasoned sailors, Brad's certainly rode some storms out, right? The ship's going up and down and up and down, and you're wondering if it's going to go side to side and capsize and everything else. You just hold on. You white knuckle it. That's right. So I imagine that there were some in that boat who grabbed hold and made themselves as comfortable as possible. Said, we're just going to wait for this thing to pass. We're going to get through it. Sometimes we grow comfortable where we are. We grow comfortable doing what we're doing. I once heard a phenomenal word of wisdom. If you are comfortable with God, you have created Him in your image. Let me say that again. If you are comfortable with God, you have created Him in your image. Let me take that a step farther. There are those who are comfortable with God. There are those who are comfortable with their Christianity. But the question is God comfortable with you? Are you where He wants you to be? Are you simply saying, well, Lord, here comes another storm. I'm gonna hold on. I'm going to get as comfortable as I can. I'm going to ride this one out. Is that God's will for you today? God is always pushing you to new levels, taking you to new heights, always getting you out of your comfort zone, and with good reason. What you call comfort, God calls confinement. Jesus talks about a lukewarm church in the book of Revelation, the third chapter. He says, I wish you were hot or cold. Hey, if you were cold, you'd be uncomfortable. You'd do something about it. If you were hot, praise God, you're on fire for me. But you're lukewarm, you're comfortable. And you know what Jesus said? He said, it makes me sick. I'll vomit that out of my mouth. Comfort prevents you from knowing who you truly are in God. It prevents you from seeing God as the miraculous Father. Comfort leads to complacency. Comfort with God will kill your hunger for God. Because everything's good. Everything is, hey, it's always been this way. Let's don't rock the boat. Come on, who am I talking to, right? Isn't that the ideal American church? Don't rock the boat, just keep everything the way it is. But God doesn't want everything. He always wants us stepping out into the miraculous, going to new levels, new places. Don't let your comfort keep you from walking in the miraculous. You might sit there and say, I don't know if I could go talk to that person at work about Jesus. Step out of the boat. I don't know if I'm able to be the person God wants me to be. Step out of the boat. I don't know if I could lift my hands in worship. Step out of the boat. I don't know if I could go on that missions trip. Step out of the boat. You could be that teacher. You could be on that praise team. You can study the Word of God. You can go back to school. You can be a witness at work. You can get that promotion. You can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. Step out of the boat. If God is for you, who can be against you? When you grow comfortable with God, you make your residence right where you are. You will progress no further with God. And that means you'll never walk in the miraculous. You know what happens to some of the people in the book of Joshua as they're going into the promised land? Before they cross over the Jordan, they find a spot and they say, hey, this is kind of nice. We're good. Well, you know what the problem with the promised land is? The enemy is there. And some people don't want to have to deal with the enemy. So they say, well, I'm happy at halfway. This is good enough. I'll just stay. Look at how far we've come from Egypt. God doesn't want you happy at halfway. He wants you walking in the fullness of His blessing. Yes, there's going to be some opposition. Yes, it's going to be physical. It's going to be emotional. It's going to be spiritual. But if God be for you, could you imagine the ones who were in the group who said, yeah, I'd kind of like to stay on this side too, but somebody talked them into it. They said, no, God's got something better. When they got into that promised land and looked back and said, oh, thank God I didn't stop back there. Don't be the ones looking across the river into the promise saying, man, I wish I would have gone with them. I wish I would have stepped out in faith and been a part of that. Don't let your comfort keep you from walking in the miraculous. Let me give you one more. I think some of them may have had a problem with capacity. What do I mean by that? Inside the boat, there is only room enough for a handful of people, but outside the boat, the possibilities are endless. Let me just preach to the church right now. Inside here, there's only a finite number of seats. Outside of this boat, the possibilities are endless. Inside this church, we can only win to the Lord what our capacity allows, but outside, we've got to step outside the boat. We've got to broaden our capacity. And not only in regard to seating, we've got to broaden our capacity in regard to our knowledge of the Word, in regard to our worship of God, in regard to our faith. There is an enemy to your soul. There is a Satan who wants you in his kingdom. And I want to tell you right now, we talk often about his deception, about his temptation, but don't ever forget the fact that doubt is one of his greatest weapons. Not fear. When fear comes knocking, if faith opens the door, he'll find nobody's there. If your faith rises up, when fear shows up, it'll flee. But if Satan can cause you to doubt that God is real, to doubt that God will do it, to doubt that you are worthy of God's miracle, he'll keep you in the boat. I mean no disrespect to the disciples, but it is evident to me they were putting more faith in their boat than they were putting in Jesus. They were putting more faith in their boat than they were putting in Jesus. What is your boat today? Your church, your ministry, your marriage, your job, your title, your reputation, your money. All of these things perish. And none of them are guaranteed to keep you above water. Moments earlier, they are convinced they are going to sink. So why are they not stepping out in faith? Earlier this morning, some of you showed up convinced that you were going to sink. But are you ready now to step out in faith? Do you realize now, you know what? I'm not putting my faith in my boat. I'm putting my faith in my Lord. He's already laid on my heart what he wants me to do. He's already given you the invitation, many of you. I'm not telling you anything. Right now, some of you are just waiting for the opportunity to catch me at the door and say, you were preaching to me. I've been dealing with something, and I haven't stepped out of my boat, and God spoke directly to me today. How do I know that to be true? Because if it wasn't true, God wouldn't have gave me this message. That's how this thing works. Are you ready to step out in faith? What are you able to believe God for? What are you willing to believe God for? What is your capacity for faith? Is it going to be confined to your little boat? Or are you willing to say, God, I am open to whatever you want to do? You don't have to do it within these parameters. I think some of the disciples were like, hey, God, we're going to stay in our boat. If you'll calm the storm, that'll be good. As long as you'll do the miracle and I can stay in these parameters, God is saying, oh, no, you need to broaden your horizon. You need to take a step of faith and step into something you've never entered into before. Father, I thank you, God, today. Lord, as you have laid it upon the hearts, those who are, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in the home, whether it is in their own hearts, in their own minds, whatever it is that they're trying to overcome, whatever it is that you have laid upon their heart to achieve, to do, to be, whatever it is, God, I thank you, Lord, that you have spoke to each and every one of us today and said, hey, I'm with you. Take me by the hand. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, and step into the miraculous. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's already done, that all we have to do is take a step to see the truth of your word. Father, I thank you for the testimonies that are going to be coming in the coming week as folks say, you know what, I took a step and let me tell you what God did. Let me tell you about the miracle God did in my life. For this, we give you all honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Who wants to add? Who's got something they need to say on that? Go ahead.